I'm Angie Robertson, and you're listening to Spirit-Led Life, Episode 12. The way we view our earthly father, our earthly mother, and our earthly siblings can directly influence the way that we view the Trinity. On today's episode, we have a special guest, Karen Houck, and Karen will be sharing with us how our earthly family relationships can directly influence our relationships with the Heavenly Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is a very dynamic conversation that we have, and I'm really joy-filled to share it with you. So let's go to the show. Welcome to today's show. We are continuing the series of Healing Our Soul, and today we have a special guest with us, Karen Houck. And over the past 15 years, Karen has helped leaders at different levels of leadership renew thought processes that have had massive impact on how they lead. She walks in authority over faulty thought processes that keep you from fully moving forward in purposes and destiny. I personally know Karen. I actually worked with Karen in what she has called a freedom session, and we'll talk about that in the episode. And she really helped me to connect deeper with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and be more intimate with God and view Him in a very different light, because my views and thoughts of God were very distorted because of the way that I have family dynamics in my life. So my father was an alcoholic and he died when I was 17. And so my view of God the Father is very, very distorted. And in fact, I will say that I, even though I got saved at that same age, I still led a life not including God, if you will, because I didn't know how to connect with a father figure because my dad had divorced my mom at such a young age. And she, you know, so I didn't have that fatherly connection to identify with. So it was through the work that I did with Karen that I was able to heal that so that I could view God in a very different light. So it just brings me such honor to have her on this episode and to share with you so that it can help free some of you from some of the thinking that you have and the way that you might be connecting with God. And I look forward to you being able to hear the show. But before we get into the interview, if you haven't followed, shared, or left a comment on this podcast, I would greatly appreciate it if you would share it with those that you know that might benefit, or maybe this particular episode might speak to someone. Please share this with them. If you follow our podcast, that would be great, because then it also helps others to find us. And then if you would leave a kind review, I would greatly appreciate it, because again, it helps others to find this podcast and gets the word out and the work that God's doing further. So without further ado, let's go to the interview with Karen. Well, welcome, Karen. The audience has had a moment to hear your kind of professional bio, but I always like to start these interviews and just allow you an opportunity to expand, because you can only share so much in a bio, and there's certainly more depth to you than that. So I thought I would start out with just opening up and letting you share a little bit deeper about how you started getting into this work that you're doing.
Oh, well, thank you. It's such a privilege and an honor to be able to be on this podcast with you. It's been a journey, but we certainly have a spirit-to-spirit connection, that's for sure. Yes, so absolutely. It was a real honor to be asked, so thank you. Mm-hmm. My company is called Avexia Consulting, and the purpose and design for Avexia was so that we could get our thoughts right. How we think and what we think, how we see God, how we relate to God, and what we believe about God is really important. And to me, that all starts with our thought process. And that was the beginning journey for me in my road of getting healthy and growing in intimacy with the Father was, we all have a backstory. We all have this life before we were saved. And mine consisted of a pretty dysfunctional family. My mom passed away when I was young, and my dad was an alcoholic, and not a functioning alcoholic. And so there was all kinds of different, situations that I went through in life. And of course, it affected how I saw God. I was raised Catholic. I went to Catholic schools all the way up and through high school. So I kind of had a perception that God was mad, that he was kind of angry, that how I behaved and pretty much my actions, and that I had to work for God's love. And I had an opportunity back in 2008 to attend Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry. And that's where my healing journey actually began, is I got to be introduced to the Father, to Jesus, and to the Holy Spirit. And that journey of recognizing that I did hear their voices and that they were living actively and very alive within me, and that we had regular dialogue and I could trust what I was hearing. Some of the most wonderful truths that he spoke to me were the things that healed and changed how I thought and how I saw life and how I saw him. And so over the past 15 years or so, I've been on this journey with him and leading people into what I call conversations with God. And, he wants to talk to us. He wants to be involved. Sometimes we, whether it's in our businesses or in our families, our relationships, sometimes we just kind of hit these walls and we're not moving, or the same patterns are getting repeated. And it's just important for us to have the perception of how God sees what's going on in our lives versus how we see it, because we've only been given a certain lens. And until we get the lens of truth and how he sees it, things really kind of, you just kind of continue to spin out, if I could use that term. We're all, when we come into the kingdom, when we get saved and we come into the kingdom and we accept that our lives are a mess and we need somebody other than ourselves to run it. The Holy Spirit comes and he takes residence. He lives inside of us. And it begins this journey. And it begins a journey of an identity as a son or a daughter. Because a lot of us I didn't recognize that in my family situation, that I was an actual daughter and that I was honored and I was cherished and that how valuable I was, because that wasn't really displayed in my family setting through my dad. And of course, my mom passed away, so I didn't have that opportunity for that mother's love. And so in this journey, I've recognized my position as a daughter, but it's greater than that. He has a plan and a purpose, but we all have an original intent. He's designed us in such a fashion that only you, Angie, can do what you do, and I can only do what I do. There's other people that are like us, and they have a piece, but you and I have a piece for the sphere or the metron that we're currently in, right?
Yes.
So I'm more than a daughter. I'm an ambassador of the kingdom. My position is to help you recognize the places where you haven't heard or you're not hearing the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, and to kind of dismantle some of those lies that we've carried around and maybe clean off some lenses that are blurred. But we really are ambassadors in advancing and bringing the kingdom of God, which is all around us, right? It's not just heaven. The kingdom of God is within us because the Spirit is within us. And we have a specific role to be releasing the kingdom on the earth, to be representatives of heaven on the earth. And not only that, but I don't know about you, but it's 2024 and it's a hot mess.
Yeah.
It started in 2020 and it's just increasingly getting messier and messier. Yeah. Well, it's our job as ambassadors to bring reformation to what's broken and bring the truth and establish the kingdom in these different spheres, right? Mm-hmm. They talk about the seven mountains. So I'm going to do my best to list them, but I may not, if you can interject which ones I've missed, but we have the church, we have family, we have arts and entertainment, we have the medical profession, all those significant spheres of influence that each one of us are involved in. Our job is to make it look more like the kingdom of God, which is a representation of a good, kind, loving Heavenly Father. So if our thoughts and the situation or the sphere of influence that we have, if we aren't bringing that peace and we aren't representing the goodness of God, then that thing's not going to change.
Yeah.
And so the key is love, right? Because that's the essence and the nature of who he is. He does love, but he is the essence of all love. So bringing that peace and being that representative or that ambassador, we have an opportunity to bring his kingdom, his thoughts, his ideas. I'm going to step out here and get a little risky. Everybody has a different theology, right? We have Baptists, we have Catholics, we have all kinds of different denominations and belief systems.
Yes.
I'm not here to say one's better than the other. Nope, not my job. My job is to teach you to hear and to get rid of the blocks that hinder you from making whatever sphere of influence that you're in match the kingdom of God. So that life and hope and love can be displayed in those places, so those transformational, reformational pieces can come and change. Because people are carrying a key that's going to switch something in the arts and the entertainment. Some people are holding a key that are going to bring families together. Somebody's bringing a key for the church that's going to snap the church into a different realm than it's currently in. I probably went on quite long there, but I think that's a pretty good gist of who I am and my passion and what I do.
And I'm so grateful that you do it and that, yes, I mean, I've had a chance to personally work with Karen several years ago. I want to kind of touch on this thought process because that you were talking about, it's a shift in the thought process. And that during when I was working with Karen, one of the things that we talked about was what was my earthly father, my earthly mother, and then my siblings, what was my relationship with them like? And I think this kind of ties in really nicely with the thought process because the way that I viewed my family is the way that I was viewing God. And when you brought that to light to me, I mean, after I, you know, was able to compose myself after completely breaking down, I just saw God in a whole new light. And I was noticing that the way that my relationship with my dad, because I had an alcoholic father, he passed away when I was in high school, but because of that relationship, that's how I was viewing God. I was viewing him very distant and not a part of my life because my dad had left my life so early. And so I didn't have a father in my life. So that's the way that I was viewing God. And then my mother, you know, she was doing the best that she could, but she was a very emotionally detached mother. And so then with Jesus, I never really could get or share my emotions with him. And then my siblings, that I have one brother that I'm really close with, one brother that I'm not. And so that was an interesting dynamic and, you know, kind of how I viewed that. So it was all that was playing into my relationship, my heavenly relationship.
Yes.
And so I want you to talk a little bit about like thought process and like that shift that we need to make so that we can connect more. Yeah.
Sure. So Romans 12:2 in the Passion is one of my most favorite scriptures. And I'll just read it so that we have it. It says, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the cultures around you, but inwardly be transformed by the Holy Spirit, a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will and to live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. The world speaks louder than God sometimes. And a lot of times we aren't able to discern the voice of God because of all the chatter that's going on in the atmospheres around us. And even, I'll even step out a little bit further. Even in the church, we imitate the ideals of others. Mm-hmm. When we're first saved, we first get in the church, it's almost like, well, I'm going to do what she does because that's the only thing I know, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to believe and I'm going to talk and I'm going to, you know, I'm going to align myself with this until I learn something else, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And we see society doing that a lot since 2020. They believe more in the ideas of the cultures around them than they actually believe in who God is, who He says He is, who He says we are, and what we believe about Him. There was a big switch because this spirit of fear entered into this atmosphere of the world, not just the United States, not just Russia, not just Ukraine, not just any of those places, but we partnered with it and we gave it permission to settle. Where you can see us all trying to work our ways through. And actually, if we remember, 2020 was supposed to be a year of rest. Remember that?
Yeah.
Because we got shut down. It's like, oh, we're supposed to rest. Yeah. I think we need to rest now.
Yeah.
I think we need to rest now because we've been striving the last few years, trying to find something that's going to shift and work. You know, my business is a little quieter than it was, mm-hmm. right? And so yeah. You start trying to do different things and people are grabbing at straws and going out to different people outside of the kingdom. When I say outside of the kingdom, I'm not necessarily saying outside of the church. Mm-hmm. Now that might cause a little bit of ruffle. The church is in the kingdom, mm-hmm. right? Not necessarily does every church recognize the kingdom.
Yes.
Okay. So in that, and having that mindset, how many people had great loss and just, oh my gosh, it was just the 2020 and 2021 were just devastating for people. Yeah. How many of those people believe that God is good?
Yeah.
And that He's a good and He's kind and He's a loving Father. How many people believe that now? And so it's like we need to shift those mindsets. And sometimes it just takes sitting down with somebody and asking a couple of questions. God, how do you see this situation? God, what do you want me to know about this relationship or this argument that I had with my spouse? God, how did you see that? Mm-hmm. Because not always do we see things like Jesus or like the Father does, right? Yeah. And sometimes we just need to engage in that. It's kind of like a prayer, right? We are engaging with the Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And we just need to have a conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And there has not been, I can tell you in the many years that I've had the opportunity to meet with people, there have been a few people that say, I didn't hear anything, or I don't think he said anything. And we just redirect the question, but people always hear what he has to say because he's never silent.
Yeah. He's never silent.
He's never silent. Mm-mm. His biggest joy is to interact with us. He wants to be with us far more than we want to be with him some days, right?
Yeah. Well, look at Adam and Eve. He walked in the cool of the garden with them. I mean, he loved fellowshipping with them.
That's right. And a lot of people, when they read that scripture, they think God was mad at Adam and Eve. He wasn't. It was his great love for them. It was his great love for them. He knew they were going to do that. Even in that, people, when they read the scripture, they interpret that he's a mean God. But where was the goodness of God in that? He gave them clothes. He still fed them. Yeah. He still loved them. None of that changed.
No. Nope. He still wanted to talk with them. They were afraid.
Yes. Yes. The separation is generally always on our part. It's never on his.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be sin involved. Whoops, did I say that out loud?
Say a little more about that.
We don't need to focus on sin because we're not sinners saved by grace. We're a much beloved son and daughter that he has absolutely cherished and loved for and adoration for. And in the part of growing and maturing as a son and a daughter, we get to become ambassadors of his kingdom. And we get to bring reformation to the systems of the influence that we're in.
I want to touch on something. You were talking about hitting walls earlier. And you talked about how there are some things that block us from hearing God. And I would be remiss because I know people's antennas went up when they heard you say that. And they want to know what those things are that are blocking.
Sure.
Talk a little bit more about that.
You bet. When I was young, I didn't know how to process all the emotion that was going on in my childhood. So I legitimately took a deep breath when I was in a stressful situation and didn't know what to do from the age of 8 and probably into my 20s. And I just take a deep breath and I just push that bad boy right down. I did come out of a drug and alcohol addiction. The Lord freed me of that. But there's always things that when we don't know what to do with, we find a place to put it. We have our own version of this peace that we think that we have to have, which is no match to the peace in Christ. But we find ways, drugs, alcohol, whatever. Sometimes, well, this was also my case, I guess I can use that too, is fear was a big deal to me. I was always afraid. From a little kid, I was just always afraid. But I wouldn't show you that I was afraid. But fear became my friend. Because when I was afraid, I go inwards, get, you know, introspective.
Yes.
You know, navel gazing. And I would always come up short. Because fear will always agree with you when you're negative about yourself. Fear's never going to be the voice or the spirit, because it is an actual spirit, that says, good job, way to go, I love how you're doing that. Fear's going to be the one that says, yep, that's right, you are an absolute and complete, that's right, you're a failure, your business is never going to make it, you're a horrible mother, you're never going to get it. Yep, that's right, you're not going to make it. And so those become walls, right? Fear, anxiety, worry, all those things become, so we don't mean to do it, but they get built up. And they also block us from God. We don't know that until we recognize that there is this wall. And then in his loving kindness, he gives us the tool and shows us how we built it. And he gives us the tool to break it down. Because, again, he doesn't want any separation between us. He doesn't. Yeah. And sin, do we make mistakes? Yeah. Do I make mistakes? Yeah. But once I said, Jesus, I love you. You're the Lord of my life. The sins from my past, the sins in my future, and the sins that I do today are done. They're all in that blood. They're all in that blood. So we can't be picking and choosing and telling God what he has the right to punish us for, because it was never his intent to punish us. His only intent has always been to love us and to bring us close.
That's you a know, whole word.
It is. And it's a whole nother word that, you know, a lot of people have the belief system that God sent Jesus to the grave and God left him while he was hanging on the cross because he was bearing the sins of the world. And God couldn't be close to sin, so he had to look away from Jesus while he was on the cross. Mm. It's a lie. You cannot separate the Trinity.
Mm.
You cannot separate the Father from the Son and the Spirit. You can't separate it. The Father was on the cross with Jesus. He never left him.
That's gotta process and marinate for a second with me.
I know.
That's pretty, wow. I never really thought, and when you said how Jesus was on the cross for even our future sins, like that. I just never marinated on that until you just said that. And that was mind blowing for me.
Everything with his blood's complete.
Yeah.
If he died on the cross for my sins, and I said, I'm really sorry that I messed up and I did all these bad things, forgive me. I can't not forgive you, or he wouldn't be who he says he is.
Yeah.
How you see God and what you believe about God really affects your relationship with
him. It absolutely does. It absolutely does. And I mean, it's, you know, still discovering more and more about him. Like, but it just deepens and deepens.
But isn't it wonderful, though?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Have you ever walked out of a conversation or an encounter with him in a negative way?
No.
Sad?
No.
Feeling like, oh, crap, I'm never going to make this thing. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, no. And in fact, when he, you know, was talking to me about doing this podcast, he was, you know, it goes back to what you were saying, how we start to think there's other people doing things that we're doing, but he has a specific, unique mission for what I'm doing. And he like shared that with me. And like, I'm like, but who am I to do this? And he started sharing with me, this is why I want you to do it. And this is what I've given you to do. Like, and it was in that it gave me the confidence to go forward in him, you know, and to do what he was telling me to do, because I went right to him and said, okay, you know, I'm comparing myself to all these people. There's thousands and thousands of podcasts out there. Why this one, you know?
Uh-huh.
And just knowing the purpose and what he's doing with this, you know, I'm just going to follow where he leads and follow what he's telling me to do.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Because what you do affects so many people.
Yeah.
And your voice is powerful. It's exciting.
So good. Very, very exciting. Well, we unpacked a lot here. I think we gave the listeners a lot to marinate on, but I've got a couple more things I want to wrap up with you. But before we do that, I want you to share with people how they can get in touch with you and learn more about you.
Sure. I do have a webpage. You can look it up. It's called Avexia, E-V-E-X-I-A, Consulting. Avexia means life, wholeness, and well-being. The webpage is avexia.live,
okay.
L-I-V-E.
Gotcha.
And so they can see more about me there. And I'm happy to talk with anybody. I have a place on there. You can set up an appointment and we can just chat for 30 minutes and see if it's something that might be something you want to do.
Yeah. And you do freedom sessions. Talk a little bit about that, like a little bit of what.
Sure.
You know.
On the website, I have freedom session and clarity sessions. Mm-hmm. And the freedom session is just exactly what you experienced. You know, there's so much freedom in hearing truth. Because so many of my mindsets were not in alignment with how God saw me and how he thought about me and what he wanted from me. And so whenever a lie is displaced, there's always freedom released. The second one, the clarity session, sometimes people are doing really well and they're doing great with the Lord and they're hearing him and they're moving and they're grooving, but there just seems to be a little bit of a, it's not a mountain, it's more of a mouse turd if you want to really know the truth. We think it's a big mountain, but it's really just a lot smaller than that. And yeah. Sometimes we just need clarity on what's next or where we're going. You know, yes, you're going to receive freedom in the clarity session as well, but sometimes it's just a little bit more pinpointed, right? Yeah. Maybe business wise, or, you know, you have a dream. We haven't even touched on dreams. God forbid we dream. God forbid we believe him for the heart desires that have been stirring in us for years.
Yeah. And he places those desires in us. Absolutely. That's something I've had to really like, oh, can I do this? Well, yeah, he placed it in me. So clearly he's given me the passion to do it and the ability to do it. Like, he'll give me the ability to do it. So yeah.
Well, any of those things, you can pretty much consider them done. But we have to partner with him, our thoughts, right? And we have to believe what he said is true. And then we have to not just sit there and go, oh, yeah, he's going to do it. I know he's going to do it. Yeah, he said he's going to do it. And this is what he wants me to do. So, you know, I won't get a web page up, or I won't seek counsel or talk to somebody about it. I guess I could I could go to the seminar over here. Maybe they can help me tell me how to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's whenever we go outside of God to look for the answers. It's when we get in trouble.
Yes. Yes. I have gotten in trouble many a times.
Me too.
So
he has
good.
Everything that we need.
Yes, he does. He absolutely does.
And there is nothing that he wants more is to have you close and to be close. You know, I don't know if we did this in our time together, but one of the things that I invite people to do when I meet with them is to ask God where they want to meet him. Where do you want to meet me? Do you want to go to the park? Do you want to go to the ocean? Do you want to go up to the mountains? Where is a place where you and I can just hang out? My favorite place is the beach.
Yeah.
So we'll go for a walk on the beach. Maybe sometimes we'll even go play in the ocean. You know, we'll catch a few waves together. Sometimes we just sit there and I put my head on his chest and just say, you know, just enjoy the vastness of his presence and his love. So, you know, where does he want to meet you?
I love that. Yeah. One of the things that you had me do was, what does Jesus look like to you? What does God look like to you? What does Holy Spirit look like to you? And that was, it was Jesus. I had no problem. God, I had a hang up on. Well, I want to kind of wrap up and end with one question that I like to ask our guests. And that is, what does a spirit-led life look like to you or for you?
For me, a spirit-led life is just always talking and interacting with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, you know? It's not asking him, is this your will? Because everything is his will. He's not religious. And so everything's open. It's hanging out and listening, enjoying. Worship is really important to me. Yeah. Hanging out in his presence and worshiping is really the beginning piece. But just, I already know he's with me. I can sense his presence.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that's something that some of the people that are listening, you know, learning to recognize his presence. Mm-hmm. Holy Spirit, where are you? Holy Spirit, I just want to feel your presence. I trained myself now, it's just a natural part of me, Mm-hmm. But when I was at Bethel, I learned how to position my heart and just say, Holy Spirit, I just want to recognize where you're at. Mm-hmm. And to this day, if I just think of the goodness of God, I can feel the Holy Spirit's presence quite heavily. Do I not feel it any other time? Oh, no, I feel it other times. But when I focus and I turn my heart towards the Lord, he always meets me. I think that's what a spirit-led life means to me. Mm-hmm. Recognizing his presence, always being aware of the goodness of God in my life in every situation. That is transformative and loaded with freedom. If we can get a flat tire and still see the goodness of God in it, because there is goodness in the flat tire.
Yeah. It's hard to see sometimes, but yeah. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And yeah. There's the time and there's the money, but you're safe. Yeah. You're protected. You have the provision.
Yeah.
And somebody stopped and helped you.
Yeah.
The goodness of God is constantly around us. It's learning to shift our thoughts and our thinking to look for it. That's the biggest key.
Yeah.
The biggest key.
Oh, thank you, Karen, so much for
being here
and sharing. I know you've given, I've probably, the minds, I can just hear all the mind blowing going on right now like when this releases. So I thank you so much for
thank you.
This conversation with Karen was so rich. And I know I had a lot of mind blowing moments, and I'm sure you did too. And as always, I'm not perfect and I'm not any kind of theologian. And I always, always, always encourage you to study the scripture and ask God to reveal the truth to you. So while I'm bringing this information to you, be sure to, if there's things that you're questioning or things that have, it was a shift for you and like, wait a minute, I've always thought this way or believed this way. And now I'm hearing this. Definitely go to the Father and seek him about that. I know I did that for myself after our interview, and I encourage you to do the same. I don't want to ever, be trying to persuade you to believe a certain way on this show. But this conversation was definitely deep and a lot to unpack and a lot to marinate on. But just as Karen shared that when we discover the truth, it sets us free. And that's the work that Jesus did for us, is to give us freedom. And we are ambassadors of Christ. And I hope that you really see that and you really start to uncover that for yourself, that you are a son and daughter, and that when we become ambassadors for Christ. And I hope this episode has really encouraged you to a deeper level of intimacy. That is always my hope for everyone that's listening, and that it's also freeing for you in some areas. And maybe those areas are that you don't have a regular conversation with God on the daily, and that this is helping you to see that that is possible and that you can do that. Before I get to this week's Heavenly Position Systems Challenge, I want to make sure that you are subscribed to our weekly email. In this email, we let you know when new episodes drop, and I share behind the scenes on the episodes that I don't share anywhere else. So go to spiritledlifepodcast.com, scroll down, fill out the form, and you will be added to our list so that you won't miss an upcoming episode. For this week's Heavenly Position Systems Challenge, grab your journal, get some quiet time, spend at least the next 15 minutes. And I want you to really kind of to marinate on what Karen shared and start to write down what you felt like the Holy Spirit was saying to you during this interview. And if there was anything that God was speaking to you or that you felt that God was speaking to you. You know, in this episode, we talked about there are things that block us from hearing from God. Write those things down that you think might be blocking you from hearing God, and go to him and ask him to reveal himself to you. He will always, as Karen was saying, he is always, always, always wanting to communicate with us. And there's so many ways that he can communicate with us. But take this time now to connect with your Father. As I close, I'm going to share that scripture that Karen shared with us, Romans 12:2, in the Passion Translation. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. Amen. Thank you so much for joining me for today's episode. And be sure to tune in each week so we can learn together how to have a Spirit-led life.